Welcome to the Next Level Soul Podcast, where we ask the big questions about life. Why are we here? Is this all there is? What is my soul's mission? We attempt to answer those questions and more by bringing you raw and inspiring conversations with some of the most fascinating and thought-provoking guests on the planet today. I am your host, Alex Ferrari. I'm always looking to help the Next Level Soul audience take their soul to the next level. And I've been able to partner with Mind Valley to present you guys with a ton of free masterclasses between 60 and 90 minutes covering mind, body, soul, relationships, and conscious entrepreneurship. Some of these masterclasses are taught by spiritual masters, relationship experts, best-selling authors, legends in the personal growth and spirituality space, and so much more. So if you want to sign up for any of our free mind, body, and soul masterclasses, just head over to nextlevelsoul.com/free. Now, today we are going to discuss something that every single one of us does all the time, and that is dream. We have some strange dreams, some scary dreams, some enlightening dreams, different kinds of dreams for different times in our lives. And we are always wondering, what do they mean? How can we use those dreams to guide us, how to connect to our higher selves through our dreams? And today's guest is going to teach us how to do that. We have on the show Michael Clerk and his best-selling book, Dream Guidance, Connecting to the Soul Through Dream Incubation, is a fascinating study of what we're going to be talking about in this episode. So let's dive in. I'd like to welcome to the show Michael Clerk.
Thank you. Excellent pronunciation. You're almost Dutch.
I appreciate it, my friend. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm really excited to talk about your work in dreams because it is something that we all have in common. We all do it. And I've been fascinated with dreams more recently in the last years, especially since I've been doing this work with the show and speaking to spiritual masters and near-death experiencers and kind of things like that, that just, you know, just starts opening up dreams into a whole other light. So my first question to you, sir, is what is dream incubation?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. It's great to be with you. Love your energy.
Thank you.
And maybe I can even answer a comment on the first thing you said, is that we all dream. Mm-hmm. And that struck me when you said it, because I've traveled around the world and I asked people about their dreams. And indeed, everyone dreams. And one of the interesting features that we also all share is that people say in a dream they are in an environment, they are in an other world where they have where they interact, and that is the common experience that we all have, and that is so interesting because that shows one of the fundamental aspects of what a dream is. A dream is a world we find ourselves in where we have an interaction. Mm-hmm. So a dream is not a letter sent from mystery source X to you that you need to decipher and have a whole symbol system to figure out what it means. But the dream is an interactive environment where that you're in. So just it just struck me when you said it, and I thought, that is close to my experience. And this is what, no matter which race, which culture, which religious upbringing, whatever a person is, they all dream and they all have the same experience when they dream.
Without question. So what is dream incubation?
Dream incubation is a very old technique in which you ask your dream a question before you go to sleep in order to have the dream respond to your question. So a person could ask, how can I love myself more deeply? What type of food would be good for me to eat? How do I find a partner? How do I grow my business in a way that I can serve more people? And there's something in us or in the universe that engages with us. And there's many ways that you can engage with this mysterious counselor that is out there. But one way is to do it through dreaming. So you can ask your dream and this counselor before you go to bed a question, and then you will have a helpful dream. That's dream incubation.
So it's been interesting. I've spoken to many spiritual leaders around the world, some yogis and rabbis and Buddhists and things like that. And the concept of dreams have come up. And many of them discuss dreams as us visiting the spiritual side of the spiritual realm, the world that we come from. We, you know, if you do believe that we are all eternal souls here, you know, experiencing a physical experience, so we're a spiritual being having a physical experience as opposed to vice versa, that when we sleep is the time where we go back, and that's where we have dreams about our families, our departed ones, ancestors, and we work things out in the dream space that we don't. Is that a fair statement from your experience? Yeah.
Yes. And what you can see is that the dream is co-created by your own belief system and expectation and will, intent and focus, and then some other mysterious force, mystery factor X. And whether you call that the spiritual realm or the larger awareness, they come together, and then you find yourself in this world where your belief systems play a role, but also clearly something else is co-creating this world. And you have what in Carl Jung would say, you have the personal unconscious and the collective unconscious. The collective unconscious is not you, it's this shared realm, and they merge, and then you could be in the spiritual world or in the dream world and meet an ancestor, the deceased ancestor that's clearly not you, but there are also manifestations of your own mind that co-create that reality, like anxiety or an expectation or a wish that contributes to that realm.
So I always wanted to ask, I always ask this question when I talk to people about dreams. Why is it always in, when we have dreams, it's never a direct answer. It's always in some sort of story or analogy of life. It's never like, how do I grow my business, let's say? And they go, oh, well, Michael, this is how you do it. No, they show you some sort of story and thing, and it's about a rabbit running in the forest, but really it's not about the rabbit running in the forest. It's not literal. It's all figurative. Like it's all. So why is that, do you think, in your experience?
That something in the soul, the soul's more primary language is metaphorical.
Yeah.
And so if you would be in a dream and you would walk into a one-way street, then it portrays in a 3D or 4D, whatever 3D environment, an idea. And so the idea of being in a one-way street is literally being manifested in this world. And so the more poetic, metaphorical notion of the deep soul plays out in this world. But once in a while, the dream is very direct as well. And what you will see in this dream incubation, if you ask your dream a question, a number of dreams give you a direct answer. And but that is also because instead of just waiting for the dream to tell you something, you turn towards the dream and say, hey, dream, I really need some help with this issue here. And then you see that the dream has a tendency to focus in, and more often, sometimes it will even literally with a voice tell it, or it's not as metaphorical as the rabbit in the forest, and then having to think about that.
It's really interesting too, because you know, even when I have dreams, sometimes I dream often. Actually, I often dreams. I do remember them too. Not always. It's tough sometimes. Sometimes it's the signal is loose, as they say. Yeah. But I generally try to write them down because I always like going back and kind of looking at them to see what's going on. I always find it fascinating. Because sometimes like you'll watch, let's say you watch Jurassic Park. Mm-hmm. And then the next night or the night before, you have a dream with a dinosaur. And I get that because it's in your conscious mind and falls into your subconscious. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. And now back to the show. But every once in a while, a dream will come up and they will pull things from the archives. Just people you haven't even thought of in two decades show up with a message or some sort of event or some sort of thing. And you're just like, how is that possible? And what, again, from speaking to some of these spiritual masters, it is the ability of the spirit guides or people on the other side, even your relatives, to be able to kind of go into our database and speak to us in our language, because that person would make no sense to you because you don't know them, and vice versa. So it's something very specific to us that they can go in, check our memories, and like, oh, okay, well, Beth screwed him over in high school. Let's bring Beth in because he's about to get screwed over with this person. And so it's an example of using analogy, and it's a metaphor, using metaphor as opposed to just telling you, hey man, Joan is going to screw you over. I'm going to show you a picture of Beth, and you maybe you'll connect the dots.
Yes, and the metaphorical language is often even more accurate. It's more complete than our language. Mm-hmm. But indeed, that is the reality creating principle that lives in the soul, that it takes an experience like being screwed over, and then dresses up like Beth, a person you knew. And so screwed over takes on the form and shape of Beth. And that's where a lot of this dream interpretation also uses, by saying, what are your associations to this character? And you say, well, that one screwed me over. Aha, screwing you over appears. And another person would maybe have their boss come in and they say, what do you associate to the boss? Oh, boss is always critical. Aha, so criticalness takes on the form and shape of boss. And that is what I meant a little earlier with your beliefs and experiences take on forms and shape in the dream environment. And that is how your own soul co-creates this reality.
It's interesting because I think you're right, because the concept of the example of Beth being someone who screwed you over, by the way, I never had a Beth, I'm just using her as an example, but having a Beth in your dream says volumes, more so than someone would have sat there and told you, hey man, you're going to get there's an emotional impact that is nonverbal that is so much more potent than someone telling you you're going to get screwed over by Joan, as opposed to, or Jack or whoever, as opposed to like shows you Beth and you just go, oh, is that what that means?
Yeah. And if you slow down a dream and move a little bit away from only interpretation, but you would sit in the dream and you would go back in the dream, slow it down, and then notice that you're in this environment and there is this dream Beth walking. And by just observing this dream Beth, you get the experience of this energy. You can sense the energy, and then you can even start sensing, oh, I feel betrayal. This feels like this character is able to betray. And then you start noticing, oh, betrayal or screwing over is there, but it can have a sensed presence of it. And then I can even start noticing in my life, when do I feel this Beth energy actually in my life? And then you can become just more aware of it.
It is so true that our language is so limiting. You know, we are so limited, you know, in this experience of what we're doing. And when you have, from my understanding of speaking to these the individuals have been on the show, that on the other side, you know, knowledge is instant and you know everything at once, which is very difficult for us to comprehend from our point of view. And the dreams seem to have a touch of it. It's like you're dipping your toe into that intelligence in some way.
Yeah. And well, there's the old saying, and picture says more than 1,000 words. And so it can be far more nuanced than the words are. Plus, the psyche seems also not interested in really telling you exactly how your life is or what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to tell you, don't do this. It more shows you this is happening. And then there's free will for you to either engage with betrayal, betray yourself, screw someone over, take it as a warning. But that is more interpretation of this is happening. And then the game is, what do you do with this situation?
Got it. Now, how do you get guidance from your higher self, from your soul, through dreams?
Well, in general, the dream is aimed at realizing your own potential. So just like the rose seed becomes a rose and the acorn becomes an oak, our own soul comes into the world with qualities that want to realize themselves. And so this realization is pre-configured in your dream. You daydream about things that in day-to-day life that you want to achieve. And so your dreams are already pointing towards the direction that your life flows into or towards to. And so that is how you can get that is how dreams in generally are aimed at the realization of who you are, and so have a guiding quality. And if you really want to make the most use of it, you can also say to the dream, I know that you often just spontaneous help me, but I have here an issue with what's playing out between me and Dad. How can I, what's an limiting belief that I have? How do I deal with this anxiety? Because if you have a heartfelt question, your dream or your soul or your spirit guide or the ancestor or the larger awareness is interested in helping you become you and helping you to realize who you are. So any question that has relevance to that, it will help. If you just say, gosh, what kind of car did my neighbor buy last week? The dream is like, who cares? But something relevant to your path, your dream wants to help you. And so it comes spontaneous. But if you turn towards it through dream incubation, you can speed up the process.
So what does dream incubation say about nightmares, about bad dreams, things that really affect us and, you know, and just scare the hell out of us in many times?
Yeah. Well, naturally, when we have a nightmare, the first question is, how do I get rid of it? I don't want this.
Right.
And yet the nightmare is in this larger frame of the psyche trying to realize itself, also trying to communicate something to us. Usually there is too much or too little fear. And so sometimes you might be negligent, and then you'll get a scary dream to just awaken you. So a certain way nightmares try to awaken you to where you are, and either with too much or too little fear. And if you have a monster chasing you, the monster 9 out of 10 times wants to tell you something, wants to share something, is a quality of you. And you can easiest see this in lucid dreams, dreams in which people get lucid and aware that they're dreaming. And it happens regularly with nightmares. People go like, that monster again. And then they turn around and say, monster, why are you running after me? What do you want? And then recently someone said, the monster said, I'm a discarded aspect of you. Oh, I'm just ignoring some part of me that tries to come close, and I'm scared of it. And therefore my brain starts painting it in as a monster. I don't want it, but it's part that belongs to me. And I only get rid of it by integrating it and not by trying to get rid of it. And that's with almost all the nightmares. So nightmares are really important dreams for personal growth.
That's really interesting. And you mentioned something when you were talking to the monster. Most dreams, at least from my experience, don't have volume, don't have actual dialogue. since I come from the movie world, dialogue like in a scene of a movie.
Mm-hmm.
But every once in a while, there is full-blown conversations that happen in dreams. So from your research and experience, what does one mean versus the other? We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. And now back to the show.
Well, what you see is that, well, first of all, indeed, this happens that you can have whole conversations with dream characters. The dream characters that are the Beth, that are more or less a thought form or an energy that we have that presents itself like Beth, with those you cannot have very great conversations because there's not a lot of internal substance to it. But if you would meet a spirit guide or a being that lives in the world of dream, they have an awareness of their own and they know things and they you can have whole conversations with them. So if you have conversations, it's almost always with characters that are residents of the dream world.
Now there's a dream that I've never forgotten. When I was a little kid, I had this dream and I always found it very interesting.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ask you to check out, like, you know, the explain what the dream is, but I just found it really interesting because it was one of the first times I remember I became lucid in the dream.
Oh.
I must have been 12 years old maybe. And we lived in an apartment and someone knocked on the door and I opened the door and there was this huge dark figure in a trench coat, faceless.
Hmm.
And at that moment I became lucid.
Hmm.
And I said, "Hey, I'm in this dream. I'm going to take control." So I went to kick him in the balls.
Mm-hmm.
And he blocked it. And I said, "I'm out of here." And I woke up. I just never forgot that dream. It was such an interesting thing, but it was the first time I became lucid in a dream. And I wish I could become more lucid in dreams. I've had lucid dream experts on the show before, and it's a process. What do you know about lucid dreaming and with your research and experience?
Well, I love your dream and and it's such a great dream. And with the knowledge now, and if you would have this time a dream in which you become lucid, and that you you're an adult now, but even when you're young, you could do it. You could instead of kicking it in the balls, you could just say, "Who are you? Why are you here?" Because when you wake up, you'll be safe. It could do whatever it wants and you'll wake up and there's no problem. So it's not like in this reality, if you would encounter a crocodile, don't put your arm in it. In the dream, you can do that, have the experience. It might hurt a lot, but you will wake up fully intact. And who knows what this character... why this character knocked at your door? Did it want to tell you something? Why did it come and visit you? And the little you and or us, when we see something like that, it's like, go away.
Right.
But who knows? Maybe this is who he is, what he has to do, what he has to suggest, to offer, contribute. Just because it's different, it doesn't make it bad or malicious. So that is one. And so for everyone that has a dream like this or wakes up, becomes lucid in a dream, ask your dream character, "Who are you? What brings you here? Do you have anything to tell me?" And people get astonishing feedback and insights from dream figures that are often very intelligent.
So, now you speak about spirit guides. Now I've spoken about spirit guides on the show before, but can you talk about spirit guides, ancestors, the higher consciousness in the dream world? What that means?
So what people, my own experience, other people, probably yours, you can be in a dream where you meet a deceased ancestor, And very often people reported there are very profound dreams that were touching. Oh, I saw grandma, I saw mom, I saw my husband, my wife. And they had the most beautiful dress and I knew they were okay. Very often it has something to that that extent. Not always, but very often there something like that is going on. So we can meet ancestors who seem to be able to meet us in the dream space. Then there's another cluster of characters, the spirit guide. And the spirit guide is a current day name for being that has been in the world of dream for a very long time. In the old Greek tradition, this was called the daimon, D-A-I-M-O-N, not to be confused with the demon in later Christianity. Yet the daimon was considered to be the guide that comes with a person into their life at birth, knows their calling, is there to awaken them to their calling, and is also a represent of their talent. And we all have a daimon or multiple daimon. And in the Roman tradition, this was called the genius, which comes from the North African word genie, which means a spirit that is standing next to you. So we all have a genius. And this is a really important distinction that the Romans made, is we have a genius. We are not a genius. These days, it's somewhat lumped into together. We say, oh, this person is a genius, often also referring to an exceptional talent. But we all have a talent. We all have gifts, whether it's cooking or humor or interviewing or playing basketball or doing finance or whatever. People come into the world with a talent, multiple talents, and these talents want to live through us into the world. And so whether it's the daimon in Greek, the genius in the Roman times, in African traditions, it's called the divine twin. And sometimes it's called the soul. And our culture very often speaks about a spirit guide, a figure that also lives in the dream, that knows about us, knows our calling, and is on our side to help us be purposeful and meaningful in this life. And you can build a relationship in the dream. And of course, once we open our eyes, the world of dream isn't gone. We are just not in it, but it's coexisting to this reality. And your spirit guide is still with you. And so you can build a relationship in the dream, but also in this reality. And it's of course very helpful if you listen to your intuitions, the feelings in your body, because then you become more optimal in navigating the relatively complexity of life.
It's really interesting too, because I had a dream a little while ago where I was, it was an extremely stressful time in my life. I think it was moving at the time. It was extremely stressful. And I just had a dream out of the blue, my deceased grandmother just showed up. I haven't thought about her in years. Don't dream with her very often. She just showed up and I was in a bed and she was there just, you know, kind of just stroking my arm. Like it's going to be okay. It was fascinating. And then I woke up and I was like, wow, I wonder what that was. And after more, you know, thought about the process, she was just saying like, it's going to be okay. Just showing love in a typical time.
Yeah. Isn't that great that we know that actually the ancestors on the other side are still there? They look over our shoulders. They send us love and good feelings when we're in trouble or rejoice when we have success with us. And they all allow for a massive amount of free will. Mm-hmm. That is why there's not often, hey, you need to do this. Sometimes there's a suggestion, but it's that comes from your spirit guide, but it's a little bit less frequent. But the ancestors are there to support, and this is also in many of the shamanic traditions the experience.
It's really interesting when you're saying this, when you were just explaining that suggestion part, like they don't tell you what to do, they give you suggestions. I have to use the analogy of a scene in a movie where there are actors in the scene and they're trying to perform the scene. But the director, which would then be the spirit guide, comes in and goes, why don't you try this? He's not telling you walk from here to there and say these lines. It's like, why don't you try this? And it's kind of a directing thing, but it's your choice as the performer to interpret that and play the scene. So it's a very similar, it's just an analogy that just flew into my head when you said that.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. And now back to the show.
Yeah, well, it's a great analogy. That would be the spirit guide. Mm-hmm. And then behind the spirit guide, behind the director in the dream is a larger awareness.
That would be the producer and the investor.
the ultimate creator.
Without the money, the whole thing doesn't go through, sir.
That's very true. And the larger awareness is very non-judgmental. So the larger awareness will support you, will give you support. But if you do left or right, it doesn't matter to it. But your producer is more aimed at making sure you stay connected to your calling. So if you're an actor and you're starting to be a banker, you might feel a lot of anxiety, and that is just your producer telling you, "Hey, you're on the wrong path."
Right. So the director is the one kind of guiding you, like, no, you're going, I don't want you to play this scene as a comic. Don't to play like this Jim Carrey. I need you to play it like Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
So it's very different ways. But yeah, it's just an interesting idea that kind of flew into my head when we were talking. And I pay attention to those things, especially in these kind of conversations, because this information goes out into the world. So when something like that does come to me in the middle of a conversation, I always like to bring it up and see what you have to say about it. Now, you've talked about a 5-step method to effectively get guidance from dreams. What is that 5-step method?
Yeah, that is in that book that I wrote, Dream Guidance, where I really write out the steps. But let me give you an example. In order to do dream incubation, it's very simple, ask your dream a question. And it is that simple. But to really effectively do it, I looked at all these cultures around the world that did it, tested it, and then distilled it to something we all can do. And recently there was a man who had been in a marriage for several years, left the marriage, and after a while felt, oh, I'm ready for dating. He started dating again, didn't really flow as well as he wanted. And so he came to me and wanted to do a brief depth series, 8 times work on a specific issue. And he said, my issue is I want to find a great partner. And shall I ask the dream for that? I said, well, it's very open, but it is that could be. But then he reflected on it and he thought, well, what I really want to know is, what is my biggest obstacle in dating? Because I do find here and there a person, but I feel there's an obstacle that prevents me from deeply connecting. So he said, he wrote down, what is my biggest obstacle in dating life? And then he did a couple of rituals. And rituals are just that you spend some time and effort into communicating to your spirit guide or the larger awareness, like, hey, this is serious. I need some help. And so he made a drawing of a heart with a question mark on it, and spent some time meditating, did light a candle, went to bed, meditated in bed for a little bit on the question, and fell asleep. Had a dream. The next morning, he wrote down the dream, which, as you mentioned earlier, essential, because otherwise they evaporate. Yeah. Write down the dream, and then work on it. And the dream he had was, he said, I'm driving in a tunnel. In front of me is another car, and I think that I see in the distance a mountain lion. When I get closer, I see it's a tiger. I get really scared and I stop the car and back out. And then that was the dream. And so instead of asking the question, what does this mean? I want to offer a suggestion to people to ask the question, what is happening? Because what is happening doesn't require that you know a lot of symbols. You don't need to know car and tiger and tunnel. You can just write out what is happening. And this person said, well, what is happening is I'm moving along. And when I see, I think I see something dangerous. And when I get closer, I think I see something dangerous that's also really beautiful. And I get really scared. And when I get scared, my impulse is backing out.
That's his dream. That's his dating life.
That is what happens. That is his biggest obstacle. And he said, gosh, yeah, I notice when I get too intimate or the partner is really beautiful, I back out. Now he can start working on that. And that's how dreams can help a person.
Why is it that when we dream, if we don't write it down, it's gone by the morning? Sometimes in the morning I'll wake up in the dream and I'm like, you know, that half dream, half asleep, mm-hmm. half awake moment. And I'm reviewing the dream in my head and I'm going, I got to remember this. Okay. So it's the guy with a jacket and I kick him the ball. So a guy with a jacket, I kick a ball and you repeat it. And you're like, I'll remember. And then you go by business in the morning and then you're like, I think it was a guy.
Yeah, right.
What was he wearing? What happened at the end? And by the end of the day, you're just like, I know I dreamed about something, but I just can't remember what it is. From your research, why is that?
Yeah, that is because at night when we sleep, our short-term memory goes offline. It just stops working very actively. And it only kicks back online when we wake up. And so it hasn't to do with intelligence, willpower. It's not storing. And therefore what you do really well initially is you repeat the dream a couple of times or several times, because that makes it store, then at least it gets stored already a little bit. And then you write it down and then it gets stored. And then your memory is back and you will remember it. But that is essential. And I still have it too. I wake up once in a while. My gosh, I know the research. I've read the scientific research about it, the experience. And I think, oh no, this one I remember. And at noon it's like, oh my gosh.
There are certain dreams that though, even when I wasn't writing them down, they stuck. And yeah. I think a lot of those times they're very emotional. They attach to you in an emotional sense. Like that, I mean, I'm talking about a dream I had when I was 12.
Yeah.
Today. And it, because at the time, it really was an emotional, it just stuck hard. And I could, you know, as we're talking, I could probably bring up 5, maybe 8, 10 different dreams I've had over my life that I can still vaguely remember. But it's, I think the more emotional they are.
Yeah, you're spot on. It's the emotion. It's emotion that is correlated with memory. So when an event is very emotional, we will remember it. If it is not, it's not. We actually dream 2 to 3 hours each night. So if you look at all the dreams you had between 10 and now, years. Oh. And you know 10 because 10 were super. It was the freaking monster. It was the exciting, ecstatic experience, something like that. I was locked up in jail, like, oh my gosh.
Right. Or you're drowning or you're falling or, you know, which also I wanted to ask you, that's that concept of if you die in the dream, you die in life, that whole, you know, Freddy Krueger vibe of the dreams. But I don't remember ever, I've had dreams that I vaguely remember dreams that were dangerous, you know, maybe falling. I think we've all had a dream of falling at one point or another.
Yeah.
I think we've all had a dream of flying at one point or another, you know, falling off of a building, but I've never, don't remember at least dying in a dream. Is that what's your experience with the concept of dying in a dream, not dying in a dream, all that stuff?
Yeah. To comment on the first one, they've done research on the most common dream themes: flying, falling, losing teeth, not being able to get to the steering wheel. Those are in the most common dream themes. So everyone has had probably one of those. It's inaccurate. People have died in the dream that are still alive. The dream is just another realm where you have all kinds of experiences. People sometimes get shot or die. It's just an experience.
We shouldn't be scared of Freddy Krueger, is what you're saying.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. And now back to the show.
You don't have to be.
By the way, what an amazing character to have in a movie. Yeah. Someone who kills you in your dreams. Just absolutely brilliant and horrific all at the same time.
Yeah, it's
terrifying.
It's totally terrifying. Yeah,
because everyone dreams. So that's the thing that's so terrifying about that character. Yeah. Now, you've done so much research with not just Western dreamers, but dreamers from all sorts of different cultures. Yeah. Is there anything that is different in different cultures in the way they approach dreams? Because I know African dream are different, and how that represents in their culture. How is it different in different cultures?
Well, different cultures have somewhat different ideas about certain characters you meet. Like one culture sees the snake as healing, and the other thinks it's the devil. That's also why these dream dictionaries have some merit, but don't truly work, because it's for a big. It's as you already said, part of your dream characters are your own memory base taking on form and shape, your own experiences taking on the Beths and the Johnnies of the world. And then there are some overlap in what certain characters do mean, like the old wise man. Now you get more to those Jungian archetypes, but even that is somewhat broad. In Africa, like in somewhat classic Western, it's very interpretive. I have this, and this says this about my personal life in Africa. I've worked a lot with in South Africa, because I was born in South Africa, with the indigenous healers, and it is very much about what does ancestor want, and how do I build a relationship with my ancestors and my spirit guides, and what do they show me in the dream, and I enter into a different realm that has nothing to do with this little self. I am connected to a larger ocean of a spiritual realm, so it's different. In Tibetan Buddhism, the goal is not so much the interpretation or the work with dreams, but through dreams, get an understanding of the nature of reality. And ultimately, it's one of the six paths to enlightenment, because you go through the dream to the stages that are behind the dream. And you learn how your own mind is co-creating reality. And just like it paints in the dream Beth in a certain way, you see a whole world in the dream. Now this reality is created in somewhat similar ways, and your own mind paints a big part of your reality and a big part of how your expectation and willpower and intent and belief system form the color by which the dream is made. But it's also the color by which you actually see this world. Because what you see in this world is really your own mind. You all see it, your own soul. And what you see is not literally out there. You think it's there, but it's all here. And the paint it uses to create what you see is based on karma, complexes, or these belief systems, expectations that you have. And once you see that, you can start working on seeing through it, or relating differently to your own to your own soul, your own mind. And then in these in the Tibetan tradition, you step through it and then you get in a state that lies behind it. And that's then eventually you get into a real enlightened consciousness. And that's completely different than Africa or our Western tradition.
It's really interesting because I love what you're saying about that we create our own experience and our own worlds here, just like we do in the dreamscape. Because I always like using the example because people ask me that all the time. I was like, you know, what do you think is, you know, how are you going to approach what might be coming down the line, like, you know, an economic disaster, possible war, environmental disaster? Like, how do you approach that? And I said, and I told the person who asked me that, I said, well, I think it's really interesting because I think the reality that we create is purely based on how we see it. In the Great Depression, one man lost his entire fortune and jumped out a window. In the next office, somebody was making a fortune. So even in the worst of times,
yeah,
you know, even in the Holocaust, there was a Schindler saving people in the depths of absolute horror. So there's always a way, there's always, you know, when one's having a bad day, someone's having a good day, you know. And I always love using the example of that good and bad are very relative perspectives. There is no true good or bad, quote unquote, because it's all about perspective. So if I get into a car accident with you, you and I had a bad day. But when you and I take our cars to the mechanic, they're having a good day.
Well, but it's a bad day for us because our judgment is understandably so, but is saying, I like this and I don't like that. Mm-hmm. And if you stop judging the world,
right,
it's all experience. And then indeed there is no good and bad. And then there's just, how do I relate to reality? And
because what happens, happens. If a tree falls in the forest and happens to kill somebody, it's not a bad tree. It's a tree that happened to fall.
Yeah.
And that person was in the wrong place at the wrong time. The tree is not evil. The tree is not bad. It is unfortunate from the perspective of the loss of someone that we care about at that moment in time.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. And if you look at things like that, the world changes a bit.
The world changes radically. It's really difficult to give up your judgments on the world.
Oh, so hard. It's hard. We judge everything. And why do you think that is? Why do we as a species constantly are judging others? And I mean, when we say that, I mean, like even Aborigines and people in the Amazon, there's jealousy. There's, you know, there's all of these kind of things that like, oh, she's got this or he's got that. Why is that? Why is that so inherent in our species?
Well, we know it's there, and it is also, if you're jealous, it's you don't want to feel it, and it is painful, and so you want the outside world to change so that you inside feel well again. But if you actually know that the jealousy resides within you, you can start relating different to the jealousy and work on that, to release that, find a different way. Because then you don't have the outside world. Then the outside world, first of all, doesn't have to be judged, and doesn't have to be, you don't have to change reality out there, where it's really the reality inside that you cannot deal with. And that then starts causing judgments and likes and dislikes.
Yes, because... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, if you can find a different way of being with jealousy or sadness or anger or happiness, then it does not matter as much what the outside world is doing.
Yeah, it's as they say, it's like when you're angry or you hate someone, you're only hurting yourself. You don't
The hate lives in you,
right?
And it is you who thinks that other person should be different, and you're not. Maybe that is true, maybe it isn't, but you have all kinds of judgments, and you don't like feeling the pain, and therefore you have hate, and so you're already not capable of dealing with pain that lies beneath that. And if you were better capable of dealing with pain, that person was a terrible person. It was just that person did something very terrible, but it wouldn't cause this hate in you.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. And now, back to the show.
Now, can we talk about the importance of the question?
Yeah.
The importance of the question, not only in our dreams, but in our lives, because it's people always ask, like, what is the answer? I go, no. I always say, what is the question? And I've heard that from so many different gurus and self-help experts all these kind of people, because we always want the answer. But the answer comes only when you ask the proper question. So first, what's the importance of that question within the dream world, and then also within our reality, in our normal reality?
Well, I love that you say what's the answer is not so important. What's the question? And Einstein also, like many of the gurus, famously said, if I have a problem that my life depends upon, and I've got 60 minutes to figure it out, I will spend the first 50 minutes figuring out the right question. Because once I know the right question, I can solve the problem in 10 minutes. And so many aspects of life hinge on asking great questions, whether it's the relationship with ourselves, why can I not lose weight?
Right.
Very unhelpful question, because your mind starts saying, well,
because you're an idiot, you're dumb, you've never been able to do it, and blah, 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 blah.
Unhelpful question. How can I lose weight? It's already better. Your mind does respond different. Interpersonal, it deepens intimacy to ask really great questions that you want to know. That is where you really can connect. And also with the dream. If you ask the dream a great question, the dream will answer your question. It's like ask and you shall be given. But ask better questions and you get better answers. And so you want to spend in this dream incubation technique a lot of time thinking about what kind of questions shall I ask? What do I really want to know? And many, like in the Jungian tradition, they look at fairy tales and mythologies for psychological patterns. And what they see is very often the task of the hero or the heroine to accomplish the task, to lift the spell, hinges on asking the right question. And in Parsifal, that mythology from the Middle Ages, Parsifal was in the castle and needed to ask the right question that would set free the king and the whole kingdom. And so when he asked, whom does the Grail serve? The whole castle erupted in cheers and were excited, because that was the moment that the spell was broken. And a great question brings us in a new state of consciousness. It transforms the old problem, and we find a solution in a different state of consciousness. So asking great questions is often a prerequisite for transformation and reaching different states of consciousness. And what I noticed in the dream incubation technique is the people sometimes say, it doesn't work for me. And then I would look at, what did you ask? Oh, I want to know how I get rich and find a beautiful wife. All right. Two valid desires, but two questions in one, very difficult for your dream to answer. And how do you know which part of the dream answers to one or the other? And yes and no questions aren't good, and very closed questions. Should I do this? Especially if you know that there's a lot of free will, and the larger awareness, there's no should. And should is very, very punitive in element, as if there's one right thing. Well, you can go left, you can go right. But if you say, what would it look like for me to go left? then the dream will show in something, or even how will I feel going to this city? Well, if you see a burning house, a car crash, not going to be a great experience. If you see flowers come out of the ground, sunrise, looks like a good experience. So finding the right question, essential for relationship with self, relationship with others, an essential ingredient in dream incubation, because the dream will answer you, but the better your question is, the better your answer.
It's kind of like that, you know, like so many people ask the question, how can I be rich?
Yeah.
It's a horrible question. It's like, what can I do to find a job, or what business can I build to generate more revenue? What can I do to change this or that? It's, you have to really start thinking about how to construct the proper question. Because if you ask in your dream incubation, you ask, how can I be rich? It's way too broad and it's not a good question.
Whereas for multiple reasons, because the dream wants to help you become yourself. Mm-hmm. And so not everybody is, first of all, meant to be rich. The other element in it is, why do you ask that? What is your motive? Well, I want to be rich because then I'm happy. Right? So, okay. Well, a more fundamental question then is, how can you be happy? Because richness, sure, it's going to help somewhere, but richness is not going to really drive happiness. And so if you want to be happy, that's a great question. So your motive you haven't reflected on the motive there.
It's really interesting too, because a lot of times when we ask questions in our lives, that's the beginning of the conversation. Yeah. There's deeper and deep multiple layers. Like, I want to be rich. Well, why do you want to be rich? Yeah. Oh, because rich people are happy. Well, are you not, why do you want to be happy? Oh, because I want this. Because I really, what's making you unhappy? Oh, well, I don't have a girlfriend, or I don't have a boyfriend. I'm like, and if I had money, I could be able to impress them to have that. I'm like, really? So you just, and it just starts going down and down and down a rabbit hole until you really start. That's therapy, essentially.
Yeah.
Essentially.
And you have to do a bit of self-therapy with, that you ask yourself some of these questions of what do I really want to know? What's really on my mind? And then make sure you formulate it well. And then the formulation comes down to it, that it's just one question at a time. Check your motive. That's important.
Yeah, it's really fascinating, the whole concept of dreams and what they can do for us. Is there anything that you can suggest on how to build a better relationship with our higher self so we can tap into this kind of communication, this kind of guidance more often than just like a one-off every once in a while, where you can literally every night go in and truly get the guidance that you need to flourish your authentic self in this life?
You can, people can just start by writing or talking and saying, higher self, larger awareness, God, divine, whatever name you want to give to it. Bob. I listened to this talk today. I learned that you seem also to help and guide through dreams. This is great, because you can build that relationship in and through dreams. And it is not only in the dream time that this will happen. It will also strengthen your intuitions, synchronistic encounters, your eye to see synchronicity, these helpful coincidences. But just write to the dream, or talk to it, to say, higher self, I've been anxious a lot lately, and I don't really know why. If you know why, then you don't ask what causes it, but then you say, how can I deal with it? And then your dream will come up with a suggestion. And then next day, make sure you write it down, so that you really treat the higher self or the spirit guide as an independent friend, respected friend. And if it gives you a suggestion, even if you don't get it right away, write it down. and then thank it. Say, I'm so thankful you gave this to me. And most of the time it makes sense after a bit of puzzling. If it doesn't, you just say, I'm grateful that you think so highly about me. I still didn't get it. Let's do this again. And dumb it down for me. But then you build a relationship because it's very relational. Old tribes already noticed that if they listened to their dreams and followed up on it, they got more dreams and better dreams. And you it's always there, but due to free will, it will let you figure it out on your own. But if you say, I would love help, it's excited to help. If you say, I don't need help, it's equally excited and loving towards you. So you can decide.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. And now back to the show.
Now, life is really complex, and there's an unbelievable intelligent phenomenon in the depths of our soul that's willing to help. Get the help. Try it. And build this relationship.
We all need some help. I love that you were saying that these coincidences that happen in our lives. I truly am not. I'm one of those that don't believe in coincidences. I believe that everything happens for a reason. Everything is there being guided as part of your experience and your journey. And I use an example a lot of times. It's like when I was starting this show, I met this one person who called me out of the blue, who was a guest on one of my other shows, called me out of the blue just as I was about to open this one without them even knowing, recommended, hey, do you mind interviewing this other guy? Which is such an odd request, never happened to before. And I said, sure. And I didn't know who that guy was, but he ended up being a very big rock star. One of the biggest rock stars in a certain genre of music from the 80s and the 90s. And I said, sure. Has he ever had a spiritual conversation? He's like, no, but I think he'd love to do it. So then I had an interview with him talking about spirituality. And that episode exploded right when I launched my show.
Oh.
And brought me all these new viewers and brought my show up to, it was so serendipitous that happened. That didn't happen a year ago before, didn't happen a year later, happened at the moment that I was about to launch this new show. So there's these little things that just constantly happen throughout my life. And I've seen it happen in other people's lives as I study other people's lives and hear stories from other people, that there is no coincidences. And as you connect more to your higher self, more towards the spiritual, that you become more aware of these things and you start attracting them into your life.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a great way of saying more aware. And it also shows that there's an intelligence at work that you could never have figured this out, but it brings this into your life and you just recognize it and engage with it. And it is both everywhere where there's a lot of energy, we should take a look, whether it's an energy that looks like, oh, that's interesting, or something scary. Or the faceless guy at the door. It's who's visiting? Where there's energy, take an additional look. If it's not something that life is trying to configure into your life that would be helpful, and your judgment on what is good and bad might cloud actually really seeing what is trying to present itself.
Now, I'm going to ask you a few questions, ask all of my guests. What is your definition of living a good life?
Well, I have a sense of being in touch with a sense of purpose. So this sense that we come into the world with gifts, a bag of goodies that we need to distribute to a community. And the ability to share your gift with other people gives a sense of meaning and purpose. And if you that can do it with some people you enjoy, and that would be a great life. And then of course, if you can make it nice for yourself with good meals and enjoy life and create an eye for beauty, that would start enhancing the experience.
What is your mission in this life?
Well, I'm of course don't know it for sure, but what I do know that I feel very called to is help people connect with the world of dream and its inhabitants. And that's why I wrote a book that I felt called to do, or I built an organization called the Jung Platform, that out of a dream, where we provide courses on Jung and spiritual psychology, from shadow work and synchronicity and archetypes, and just make that accessible to the general audience to give them tools and perspectives with which they can connect to who they are and bring out what they do. And in doing that, I feel a lot of joy, and that brings up all other challenges in life that are good for me to deal with.
And what is the ultimate purpose of life?
Well, probably giving expression to that what lives inside of you.
And my friend, where can people find out more about you and the work that you're doing?
Well, there's two places. One is the Jung Platform, JUNGplatform.com. There we have over 150 courses for beginners and intermediate in African shamanism, Rumi, and Jungian psychology, dreams, a lot of dream work. And then on my personal website, Machiel Klerk, which probably you have to write down somewhere. It's M-A-C-H-I-E-L-K-L-E-R-K. Or type in Dream Guidance. That is the book, and that is, I've now seen it generates my name as well. There people can learn a little bit about me and my dreams, and that I'm a therapist and a social entrepreneur with the Jung Platform, and do consultancy with companies on innovation and creativity and leadership.
Michael, it has been a pleasure talking to you, my friend. Thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your knowledge and experience with us. And I appreciate the work that you're doing out there. And hopefully this conversation will help some people help connect with their higher selves, to their dreams, and help them get a little bit more guidance in the world. God knows we all need it in this life.
Thank you, Alex. It was such a joy to be here. And you asked great questions, which made the conversation flow easily. So thank you for that.
I want to thank Michael so much for coming on the show and sharing his knowledge with all of us. If you want to get links to anything we spoke about in this episode, including how to get his new book, Dream Guidance, head over to the show notes at nextlevelsoul.com/117. And if you've only been listening to this over podcast and you want to watch these amazing conversations, please subscribe to our YouTube channel at nextlevelsoul.com/YouTube. Thank you so much for listening. And remember, trust the journey. It is here to teach you. I'll talk to you soon.